Please turn to Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3. I know it may say 2 and 3, but it's 1 through 3. We want to continue, we're going to continue our studies in maintaining, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I mentioned in my last message that those that are chained to Christ, those that are prisoners of Jesus Christ, the saints of God, that we are to do everything possible to keep the unity of the Spirit. By all means, to achieve that goal, verse 2 tells us that it's only possible one way, and that's humility or lowliness, depending on your translation. Humility or lowliness is required if we are going to keep the unity of the Spirit. Without humility, we can never please the Lord. Without humility, we can never be like Christ. Turn to Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. We'll see what the plumb line for humility is. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. That is the plumb line for all the children of God. Obedient to the point of death. Humility is the exact opposite of pride. Humility is absolutely the number one requirement to keeping the unity of the Spirit in the church. And the number one sin against that is pride. Humility, exact opposite of pride. Pride is defined as a high or inordinate opinion of one's own self, one's own dignity, one's own importance, merit, or superiority, whether as cherished in the mind or displayed in your conduct. Humility on one hand, the polar opposite, pride. Pride is essentially thinking more of yourself than you have a right to. Turn to Romans 12, verse 3. The Apostle Paul spoke of this problem 2,000 years ago. Romans 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Don't think of yourself more than you should. Because whatever you have, whatever you have and you are by the grace of God. Our world is filled with pride. Pride, for people talk all the time about their job. I'm so proud of the job I have. I'm so proud of my possessions. I'm so proud of my families. Of my family. I'm so proud of my children. The world is saturated in pride. Pride is viewed as a good thing. You see bumper stickers all the time. If you have a bumper sticker, this may hurt a second. Proud, fill in the blank. Of my child, of my possessions, of, I'm proud. I'm prideful of what I have, and it's the sin that took down Adam and Eve. It's the sin that took down Satan. Pride. As I said, it's infiltrated the church. We give awards to one another. We give plaques to one another. We give degrees to one another. We give applause to one another. Where in the scripture do you see that? When I read Jeremiah, Isaiah, John the Baptist, Malachi, I never see no plaques and awards and you're doing tremendous. Or we dip it in gold and say, ah, oh, can we get a love offering to the Lord? As the guy standing up there is like, yes, yes. Love offering to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, this is nothing but pride. But to be a humble people, a people whose disposition is down, their head is down. Do you realize pride? Turn to Isaiah 14. As I told my one brother, he thought he was going to get beat up today. I said, well, you probably are. I've been getting beat up for 2 weeks. Dealing with pride. Turn to Isaiah 14, 12 through 15. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations, for you have said in your heart. And before I read it, take notice of all the I wills. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farther sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. That's where pride got Lucifer. I will. We live in a culture, the church in America and throughout the world for that matter, they're will worshippers. You hear it all the time. I will, I will, I will. I challenge you, take an old hymnal, look at the table of contents, look at the songs, and you see how many I wills in there. You get a new hymnal today, the new and improved one, there's about 75 or 100 I wills in there. I will dance, I will sing, I will praise, I will worship, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. It's nothing but will worship. I will. I will ascend. I will do this thing. Look at Genesis 3, 5 through 7. Here's the sin of Lucifer. Pride. What's the sin of Adam and Eve? Genesis 3. We'll just look at verse 5. You can read 6 and 7 on your own. Verse 5. Here's Satan tempting the woman. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Satan said that to the Lord, I will ascend, I will, I will, I will, I will. He comes and he tempts the woman. He said, God knows in that day you're going to be just like him. And man has been doing that ever since. I will. Pride is soundly condemned in the Word of God. And you hear it all the time. Oh, I'm just so proud of my husband. I'm so proud of my wife. I'm so proud of my children. I'm so proud. I don't hear people say, I'm so humbled. Pride will be judged by the Lord. Pride causes us to rob God of His glory. And God says He's not going to share His glory with anybody. He's the one that says the I wills. When he finally brings Job forth, what does God do to Job, the quote-unquote most righteous man? You come up here, and now I'm going to talk to you. Where were you when I And he spends two chapters challenging Job, bringing charges against the Lord. And God says, where were you? Where were you in all of your pride? Pride's the sin of competing with God. When we're proud of our talents, our abilities, our education, our knowledge, our possessions, our appearance, our skills, our wealth, we're guilty of pride. And you can go all throughout the land today, and the biggest guy guilty of pride is the guy in the pulpit. That's why I said I'm getting beat up for 2 weeks. The Lord says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. All those things I just mentioned, talents, abilities, education, knowledge, possessions, appearance, skills, wealth, etc., etc., etc. Pride will cause you, I got about 12 or 13 things to see if you check in the box. One of your favorite words would be I. Stop next time and listen to how many times you say I. Pride will cause you to be rude, thinking you're more important than everybody else. Just listen to your conversation. I. The old preacher said that's the dirtiest, filthiest word in the English language. I. Here's some characteristics of pride. Nobody yell out, ouch, or you. I'm talking to everybody, me first. Here's 12 characteristics. Being unthankful. Thinking you should only have what's good. When those dark clouds of providence come in, it's not fair, Lord. You're not thankful. Outburst of anger, moody, pouting, impatient. Perfectionist type persons who want to be the best at everything. Seeking independence, finds it extremely difficult to work with others. Monopolizing conversations, headstrong, stubborn. Preachers, that's one of our main problems, monopolizing conversations. If you notice, in the Bible studies, you don't hear me say much. There's a reason why. I'm trying to keep my big mouth shut. Being consumed with what others might think. Sin is so dominant, especially in the pulpit. Concerned about what others might think. The scripture calls it, you're a man pleaser. My job is to bring forth the truth. If you love me or hate me, well, just don't come to me and say, you're not preaching me the truth. You're not telling me the truth. Here's an open Bible. You're against the Bible. People want to tickle people's ears, rub their toes, make them feel good. Everybody loves me. All my neighbors love me. The dog loves me. The cat loves me. The auto mechanic really loves me. Everybody wants to be a man pleaser. If you need men or women to approve of you, you're prideful. Pride. Devastated by criticism. He said, she said, they didn't look at me, they did look at me. You don't listen very well. Unteachable. Sarcastic. Hurtful. Wanting to be praised or coaxed. To say, oh, would you please, could you please do that? Wanting to be praised, wanting to be coaxed. Being defensive. Can't be my fault. Lacking in biblical prayer. I don't need to pray. I can do this on my own. Service to others. Sacrificial deeds. You're lacking in these areas. You're prideful. Resisting authority. Well, you know, I have a submission problem. No, you have a pride problem. You have the sin of pride. No, I have a little submission problem. Pride is a problem. A sin in everyone's life, and we must all repent of it. On a continual basis. I was repenting of it this morning. I'm telling my brothers 1 minute before the message. Yeah, I had to repent about that. Taking pride in my physical strength. I repented of it. Oh, I was a longshoreman. I can handle that. My brother said to me, can I help you with baptizing our sister? I'm like, no. You know, I was a longshoreman. I'm strong. I got them guns right there. I got them guns up here. I can handle it. And the smart in the Lord's like, call Dave up and tell him bring his bathing suit with him. I'll have to shower in the pool. Now, I'm confessing my sin to you. I'm being real with you. To show you that I'm not on some ivory tower saying, hey, you know, you're prideful. It's like, I'm the first to admit I'm prideful. And I want to tell you, the more gifts that you have, the more of a tendency there is to be prideful. It's a problem. And pride is easy to see in others, but nearly impossible to see in ourselves. Pride is at the heart of all sin. It's at the heart of all sin. That's how this mess all started. Satan was prideful. Then he came, he tempted the woman. And she was prideful. And it's just gone on and on to this day. And it's nothing but pride. So how can we possibly have unity in the church if you got all prideful people gathered together saying, no, me, I want it this way, I got to do things this way, you're wrong, I'm right, what about this? Just fill in the blank there, 12 or 13 things I mentioned. Our passage today in Ephesians 4:2, though it is not about pride, it's about the polar opposite of pride. And that's humility. You can't understand humility until you first understand what pride is. What is humility? The quality or condition of being humble, being modest, a modest opinion or an estimate of one's own importance or worth, a deep sense of one's littleness. When was the last time you seen a commercial on TV about your littleness? You wouldn't sell many products that way. Every commercial is based on, you deserve this, because you're special. My daughter, she came home from kindergarten saying that I'm special, I am me. It's like, really? That's 23 years ago. I am special, I am me. That's pride. Pride. A deep sense of one's littleness. Until you find your turn to second, Galatians 6, verse 2. Until you understand this, verse 3. Galatians 6, verse 3. So, you ain't got a problem with me, you got a problem with the word. Galatians 6, verse 3. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. It's like most of us, the truth is, we don't have a Superman costume on, we got self-costume. We got a big ass on our chest, and we think we're somebody. And God says, you nobody. And when you finally realize that, then you can be somebody. Because until you realize that you're nobody, you can never be somebody. You're just full of pride. There's the text I just took to you, to Galatians 6, verse 3. Anyone that thinks he's something when he's nothing. And basically you got a bunch of people sitting in churches all throughout the world with their heads puffed up in the air, the peacock strutting around. Prideful people. True humility involves two essential components. First, it involves a proper view of oneself. I tell you, one of the most humbling sections of Scripture is Romans 3. You want to know if you're prideful? This ain't in the notes, but let's go here since it just came in. The Lord's saying something. Romans 3. Tell me if you get offended at this or you rejoice in it. Romans 3, verses 10 to 12. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Don't say ouch. Don't respond to it. Let the Holy Spirit deal with you. Did you just rejoice when you heard that? Or did you rebel against that? Did you say, that's not true? Or did you say, hallelujah, Lord, that is true. And thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ imputing his righteousness to me and giving me that. But the prideful person says, that's not true. I seek after God. I do good. I have righteousness. The Bible says, no, not one. Not one of you are. A proper view of yourself. The genuine, humble person knows and confesses their sinners, first of all. They don't compare themselves to others. This ain't, you know, I hear people all the time, you witness to somebody, well, I never killed anybody. Oh, that's a pretty good poem, man. You should go to heaven because you never killed anybody. Well, I ain't like Hitler. It's like, well, let's compare that to Christ. How are you in light of Christ? I read to you about Christ in Philippians 2. He humbled himself. He was equal with God. He didn't consider it a robbery. He became a man and he humbled himself to the point of death. And not even for him, for you. Because you are dead in your sins and trespasses. And he came to die for his people. The genuinely humble person realizes he lacks the ability to do anything by himself. But everything that he has and is has been given to him by the Lord. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, until we get this right, we'll never have unity. It's an impossibility. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Anything you are, God has given to you. So what are you boasting about? Anything you have. It's not, well, you know, I developed that. I am what I am because, you know, after all, I studied the Word for 35 years. Well, I am what I am because of... That's why people say, oh, why are you nervous getting in the pulpit? I'm terrified getting in the pulpit because I know that in and of myself, I don't have anything. I walk up in the pulpit saying, I do believe in the Holy Spirit. I do believe in the Holy Spirit. I do believe in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because I know that in and of myself, I have nothing. I got to bring forth the Word of God and give an account of what I said someday. And I'm going to say, this is of me. Whatever you got. Your job, your education, your money, your family, whatever it is. You have nothing to boast about. It's simply be given to you. Pride. The first step in achieving humility is learning to see yourself as you really are. A long time ago, I looked in the mirror one time and the Lord said, you know, that's your biggest problem. That fellow staring back at you. It's not her, it's not him, it's not them, it's that guy that's looking back at you, bro. He's your problem. Because he's prideful. What's the middle letter of pride? I. What's the middle letter of sin? I. Why do you got to dominate the conversation? Because it's all about you. I. I. Second component necessary for humility. First, proper view of yourself. Second, proper view of God Almighty. Another sin that is prevalent in the Church of Jesus Christ today. A high view of man, low view of God. That's why you see all the I wills. I will, as opposed to this is what God has done. The old hymns tell you what God has done to you. The new hymns is what man is going to do for God. Got the wrong view. Who the Almighty is here, it's not you. Proper view of God, the truly humble person sees God as the source of the salvation, sees God as the source of their righteousness. They worship the Lord. The truly humble person sees God as the source of all blessing, all success, and all ability. That's why do you hold on to stuff so much? Obviously, you think that you achieved it, that's why you hold on to it so hard. I might lose it. But if you understand that everything has been given to you by God Almighty, you can have loose hands. Loose hands everywhere. Service, praying, worshiping, loving. Just fill in the blank. Because everything's coming from the Lord. He can't bless you because everything's like, oh, I might lose this. You're right. Might lose this. Might lose the hands you're clapping it up with. God. A proper view of God Almighty. The awareness of God causes us to respond in ways that demonstrate that humility. me ask you a question. Nobody answered me. What would you say to me if I came up to you tomorrow and said, you know, I'd really like you to start cleaning the toilets every week? Want to know if you're humble? What was your answer right there? I'm the elder. If I came to you and said, listen, we're trying to maintain the unity of the church. I really need you to do this. I need you to wash the toilets every week. Take that up with the Bible. You know what the answer is right now. You're like, no way. And that dude better never ask me. I'll get my car and I'll be down the street. But your answer just reveals really what's in your heart. I would never do that. Don't you understand who I am, what I've done, what I've achieved? A truly humble person says, Lord, it's no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in me. So if that's your attitude, there's no room left for pride. It ain't me who lives. Bill's dead. But the Lord got to remind me of that every day. He even reminded me this morning as I'm getting dressed. It's like, call me out. All right, Dave, you got your plate on YouTube. Now I'm going to humble you. I mean, we must all come to the place where we understand that God is not impressed with our education, with our fame, with our abilities, with our skill, with our achievements, what we've done or where we've been or who we think we are. God Almighty is not impressed at all. God Almighty is impressed with the humble person. And even that person he's not impressed with because he gave the ability to be humble. So you can't boast on that. That's the problem. There's too many boasters. You boast about everything. We can be in the gutter. I've been with drug addicts, people in the gutter, and they're boasting. It's like, are you kidding me? Look at where we're at. It's always boasting. I mean, I got a grandkid and his nephews, they were all boasting. They're 4 years old, 5 years old. That's mine, I got this, you didn't do this, this is mine. We're just a people of boasting, and when you have churches that are just, everybody's a boaster, well, who's going to be the servant here? Who's going to be the servant? Who's going to wash the toilets? If you're like this, though, better get off this toilet thing. We got to learn the lesson of Luke 18. Don't worry, your beating's almost over soon. Luke 18, 9 to 14. Now, you will ask yourself, Father, I pray that you would reveal this text to the hearts of the people. Luke 18, 9 to 14. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector over here. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess, and the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, and never forget these 7 words, brothers and sisters, God be merciful to me, a sinner. You see what that text says? God is first. Be merciful. That's the word for propitiation, to be mercy seated to me. And see how he signed it? A sinner. That's a proper view of God and a proper view of man. See, the religious person, the prideful person, they're like, oh, Lord, I thank you, like these mopes over here. I do this, I do that, I do the other thing, and the other person got his head down, he's beating on his breast saying, Lord, you know, I know you should damn me to hell, but if it please you to have mercy on me, please, Lord. Have mercy on me. The other person is the proud peacock. See, I can't even say the word. The Lord left me humble by brutalizing the English language. Getting in the pulpit, and I got to brutalize the English language for 35 years. But you see, the humble person, the head is down. Lord, have mercy. That's a proper view of oneself and God. God, be merciful, be mercy seated to me, a sinner. Pride and humility affect the way we function together as a church. When we walk in pride, we will demand our own way. We'll be offended when we don't get our way. We'll wear our feelings on our shoulders and get our feelings hurt easily. You've so offended me. We wear our feelings to manipulate the emotions of the other person. Why do you think kids act the way that they act? And we go from little small brats into being big old brats. And we use feelings and emotions to manipulate the people to get them to do what we want. And somehow we think we're going to do that with Almighty God. And it ain't going to work. We will seek to exalt ourselves, always talking about ourselves, what we think, who you are, what I am, what I've done, all these things and many more. And it will do nothing but undermine the unity of the church. That's why Paul starts off and uses humility or lowliness as the first requirement for keeping the unity of the Spirit. The Lord knew that we don't have a problem loving ourselves. I mean, the psychiatrist, that's his main thing, to get you to love yourself. You really are special. And the Lord finally got that person in a place that maybe they'll go to him for help. And the psychiatrist tell you, but you really are special. We're going to affirm that. And the Lord's like, no, you are made in the image of God, but you need a Savior. We have a problem putting others before ourselves. And that's why the Lord left us with the command, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. And Father, we thank you that you told us about humility, that is what you demand from your people. You've warned us about pride all throughout the Scripture. And Father, each and every one of us struggle with pride. And if you don't think you struggle with pride, you just proved that you're prideful. Because the moment we think we're not prideful is the moment we just realize that we really are. And Father, we would ask you that you would cleanse us from pride, and you would fill us with humility, and you would remind us daily about humility. And Father, we'd ask your blessing upon this congregation.